Can you imagine a Jewish pope that was married? No such thing. Don't believe it. He wasn't the first pope. He was an apostle, no doubt about that, and he had the gifts. He had the gifts and the signs of an apostle. And there are no successors to the apostles. Somebody says they're an apostle, well, you can check them out. Because if they're a real apostle, then they would have the signs that accompany an apostle. They can raise the dead, heal the sick. They can do all of those kinds of things. In the book of 1 Peter this morning, we're going to read the first 5 verses. And I want to talk to you this morning as best I can. From verse number 3, where it talks about the new birth. So I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. Beginning in verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Stop for a minute. Strangers is usually a reference to Gentiles scattered around in that country. That's who he's writing to there. Verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse number 1 and 2 is like introduction material. He says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I want to take that phrase in there, hath begotten us again. All right, that's talking about the new birth. He has birthed us again. He has given us another birth, other than that fleshly birth that you had from your parents. So reading again, verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we want to take those verses there, and I'll point out some things for you a little bit later on about the new birth. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning, and I pray the Spirit of God would help me bring to my mind the scriptures and thoughts and illustrations that would be helpful this morning. I pray, thank you for your people who are here, God, and I pray that they'll be edified and built up in the faith, and I pray you'd help me to be a blessing with these things. God, give us understanding. Pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher. And God, I pray you'd help us and, Lord, work in our hearts. And God, just we ask you, please, Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. We pray you'll come and help us and meet with us. And God, help us to give ourselves over to thee, to yield ourselves to thee. We present our body to you right now as a living sacrifice. So please help us. And with these things, I pray and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about this morning about the new birth. If you'll take your Bibles, probably need to turn the page to the right and go over to chapter 1, same chapter, and look in verse number 23. Chapter 1, verse number 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there he talks about the new birth again, being born again of corruptible seed. We'll get over to preaching about that in the next week or two there. The thing that brings about the new birth is the Word of God. That's the written Word of God. See, he uses the seed of the Word of God to go into your heart, and it produces life in your heart. That's how you got saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, the first birth that you had was of corruptible seed. That's from your dad. That's from your dad, see. Reason I'm a sinner is because my daddy was a sinner. Reason my daddy was a sinner is because his daddy was a sinner, and it just keeps on going back, you see. But God came along, and he took the Word of God, which is incorruptible seed, the words of God, and he put some seeds in my heart, and it produced life, and it brought about the new birth there. See, he punctured my heart with the sword of the Spirit. He punctured your heart, and you heard the Word of God, and that seed went into your heart. That is, if you're saved here this morning, if you're saved, he punctured your heart with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he put a seed in there. That's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. So we're talking about the new birth. Notice the Apostle Peter says, hath begotten us again. He says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. So he's begotten us again, that he birthed us again. He's given us a new birth, a second birth. Your first birth was physical birth. See, but here's the thing, folks, look at me. If that physical birth that you have, if that's all you have, if you only have been born one time by a physical birth, by your mom and your dad, if that's all you have, then one of these days your body will die and go in the grave. And if you're not, and you know, and if you have not had a second birth, your soul will leave your body, go to hell. You see, you have to have a second birth. That's what Jesus meant in John chapter number 3, in verse number 3, when he said, "You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must have a second birth, because that first birth that you had from your mom and dad, that's going to get you some life out here in the physical world. That's good, but it's going to get you to the grave too, see. It'll get you some enjoyment out here in life, in the physical world. But in order to go to that other world, in order to go to that, to go to that kingdom of God he's talking about right here, then you must have a spiritual birth. You must have a birth from above, because that first birth, that physical birth that you've had, will only get you some life here in the physical world, and then you will die and your body will go to the grave and your soul will go to hell if you don't have that, if you don't have that second birth. It must be from above. It is not something that you can work up. You know, you work it up. No, it doesn't work that way. It's not something that you inherit from your parents. I wish it was. See, I'd pass it on to my kids. It's not something that you inherit from your family, from your parents. Not something you inherit from your church or something like that, see. It's not something that you deserve and God gives it to you as a reward, see. But if you recognize that you're a sinner and that you need another birth, that something's wrong in our hearts, see. That's the problem with all of us. That's the problem with the human race, is the heart on the inside. The heart, the Bible says, is evil, it's deceitful, and it's wicked in every single one of us. And who can know the thing, the Bible says? In the very best of people, the very best of people, their heart is evil. Who knows what's going on in the best of people that you know? See, their heart is evil and wicked. There must be a new birth. We're dead. We're dead spiritually on the inside. See, so we must be brought to life. There must be new life given to us on the inside of us. It's not something you can work up, something you inherit. It's not something you deserve. You get it as a reward. But if you'll accept Jesus Christ and believe on God's Son, then God will give you the new birth. He does that. That's not something you can work up, you see. You don't work at it and you get it. God will give you the new birth. Other false ideas say, well, I was born again when I was baptized as a baby in some church, you see. No, babies don't get born again. Babies just get born and that's all. But babies don't get born again. Babies don't get saved. They don't need to get saved. God doesn't charge sin to little babies. They don't go to hell whenever they die, because God doesn't charge sin to little babies. Little babies, they take them and sprinkle them and all that kind of stuff. It's just worthless. It doesn't mean anything. They just get wet. That's all. You know, wah, wah, wah. They spit and water around and all that kind of stuff. See, they don't get saved. The Bible says you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get saved when you're a baby. They're innocent. Or somebody says, "Well, I was born again. I was born again when I was saved. A car crashed and I was in there, and God spared me, and that's when I was born again." That's not being born again. I'm glad people were spared and all that kind of stuff, but that's not the new birth in the Bible. You see, it's not that kind of stuff. It is a birth from above. Jesus said, "You must be born again. Except a man be born again." I believe it says in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The water there is not talking about being baptized or sprinkling water on somebody. That water is the first birth. That water is the physical birth. Every mother here knows that, you see. What do you say? What happens? What breaks whenever your baby's coming? See, then water, that's the first birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So you must have first a physical birth from water, and then you must have a spiritual birth from above. You must be born again. If a person is not born again, they're still dead in trespasses and in sin. The new birth is a miraculous, instantaneous act whereby God raises your dead spirit to life. Turn in your Bibles, please. Hold your place there and go back to the left a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and let me read a few verses for you, beginning in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. All right, and it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." To be quickened, that means he made you alive. If you're saved here this morning, then God has quickened your dead spirit. He has made you alive. Alive unto God. You're already alive physically, but you must be alive unto God. Let me ask you something here. Are you alive unto God this morning? Are you alive unto God, or are you just alive to what's out here in the world? See, if you're alive physically, then you're alive to what's going on out here in the world. You're alive to your surroundings. But see, if you're saved, if you're born again, then you're alive to God. You see, you're aware that God exists. You're aware that He's there. You're aware of His presence. You're aware that there's somebody there inside of you. I mean, have you been aware of the presence of God since you got saved? Are you aware that He's there? Are you aware of a presence, the presence of God? See? Since you got saved? Or is it just blank? I mean, whenever you do something wrong, is there something or somebody comes along and pricks you in the side? Does that ever bother you? Something that bothers you whenever you're doing something wrong? You see? And you know, somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching me. Who's that? Well, it's God. You see? Because He says, verse number 1 of Ephesians 2, He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead." Well, you're dead. Well, that's dead spiritually. Dead to God. Not alive unto God. You see, I'm worried about some people. They don't seem to be alive unto God. Y'all alive this morning? Amen? You're alive unto God? Not just alive to one another. Not alive to your surroundings. But alive to God, that He exists, that He's here. See? "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Let's read on. Verse number 2, "Where in time past," see, in the time past, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Look, you still live in this flesh. You still live in, geographically, you live in a body of flesh. But that flesh is not supposed to control you, because that flesh is corrupt. It's evil, see? That's why we're supposed to come to church. That's why we're supposed to sing. That's why we're supposed to read our Bible. So let the Spirit of God help God control us and leave aside all the evil stuff. You see. Let me see. Turn your Bibles, please. If you're still in Ephesians chapter, I'm going to come back and read verse 4 after a while in a minute here. But turn the page to the right there in Ephesians and look in chapter 4 and look in verse number 22. Ephesians 4 and verse number 22. All right, Ephesians 4:22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. The old man. See, that old man, that's your flesh. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And look in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created. See, not born like physically, but he said there's a new man that has been created, what does it say, in righteousness and true holiness. Did you know whenever you get saved, if you're saved, there's a new man on the inside that God has created. The old man, that's this old flesh right here. You're not supposed to let that old man rule you. But when you got saved, God, by a miraculous act, created a new man on the inside. It's a spiritual man, and that man in there can't sin. He's incapable of sinning. He's a spiritual man, created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, folks, listen. That's the only thing that's going to get you in. That's all that's going to get you into heaven. Your goodness and your good deeds and your righteousness on the outside, it ain't going to help you one bit getting into heaven. But there's got to be a new man on the inside that God has created. And he's righteous and holy. See? Now see, you can't work that up. God does that whenever you get saved. God's part is to bring your dead spirit to life. And your part, first, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't work it up, but you can believe. You can receive Jesus Christ. You can accept Him as your Savior. That's your part. And then God will bring the new birth part. You know what God does? God looks in. God, I like this song here. We tried to sing it Wednesday night. On page number 24, and it's kind of a hard song to sing, but listen to some of the words here. This is by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, him and his brother, the founder of the Methodist Church. And he wrote this song called "And Can It Be?" And it's the story of his salvation. I've told you this before. I'm just repeating myself just a little bit. And he said, that'd be Jesus. He left his Father's throne above. So free, so infinite His grace, emptied Himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. You know who Adam's helpless race is? That's you. That's all of us. We all came from Adam. We've been studying Genesis. And He bled for the entire race, the entire human race. Jesus Christ died on a cross for Adam's entire race, all the way back from Adam, all the way out to the last man, woman, boy, or girl. He bled, shed His blood on the cross for every last member of Adam's race. That's us. He bled for Adam's helpless race, he said. Man, who could write like that? What a man could write like that? 'Tis mercy. So all immense and free. Listen to this. See if you can get salvation out of this verse. He said this, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Look at this. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I awoke, the dungeon flamed with light. You know what that dungeon is he's talking about? He's talking about your soul. And here's God. And God saw you down there. And God sent a ray of light from His eye into your soul. And He brought you to life. And He made you alive unto God. You see? You know what that light was? That's the same light that's found in Genesis chapter 1. And I believe it's verse number 3, isn't it? Where God said, let there be light, and there was light. That same light from God shined in your heart and brought you from death unto life. He said, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I awoke and the dungeon flamed with light. Man, that's your soul. He put light in your soul. He shined light, the light of God, in your soul. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I arose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Folks, let me say something. Who could possibly get over that? Who could get over the fact that God, our Creator, became a man, became flesh, and came to the earth and died on the cross and suffered in our place? Who could get over that? Man, I can't get over it. I've been saved for 47 and a half years, you see, and it's still just as good to me today. I didn't even know it back then. You know, I knew Jesus died for me, but that's about as much as I knew, you see. The new birth. The new birth. Look, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Go from where you were in Ephesians, Jack. Go back to chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and look in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Oh, I've got behind here. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You see, that's why when you get saved and you at least try to walk with God some, that you feel that you kind of like, you know, the presence of God is there. Why? Because he lives inside of you. What? He said, know ye not that you are the temple of God? Your body becomes the house of God. God doesn't live in buildings. God doesn't live in religious temples or anything like that. He lives inside of Christians, people who are saved. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. Well, let's go on here. Let's go back over to 1 Peter now, chapter 1 and verse number 3. Let me give you five things about the new birth from verses number 3 to 5. Five things about the new birth. Number one, the first thing I want to point out to you found in verse number 3 is this. That it is according to his abundant mercy. Look in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. So first off, the new birth is according to God's abundant mercy. That is, God in his mercy has given us the new birth, you see. Let's stop for a minute. Folks, I want to tell you something. God has been good to me. I hope you can say that God has been good to you. You know what I thank God for every day? God, I thank you that you didn't give me what I deserve. Thank God he did not give me what I deserve. I wouldn't be here. I would not be here if God had given me what I deserve. I deserve to be in hell right this very minute. Not tomorrow. I don't deserve to be in hell tomorrow, but I deserve it today. I mean, right this second, that's what I deserve. I don't deserve the goodness of God, you see. Let me ask you something. Has God been good to you? Did you sleep in a bed last night? Did you have sheets on your bed last night? Did you have a warm house? Did you have something to eat last night? Did you have a little bit to eat this morning? You drove here in a car, you didn't have to walk. Most people won't even come to church if they have to walk. If they have to walk a half a block, they're not going to come. Not going to come, see? So has God been good to you? Let me tell you something else. Things could have turned out so much better. Let me back up. Things could have turned out so much different in my life if God would have just moved things around just a little bit. But God was merciful to me. He didn't give me what I deserve. You see, has God been good to you? Has God been merciful to you? Turning your Bibles back over there to Ephesians again. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Down through here, verse number 2 and 3, we just read verses 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse number 4. Look in those first two verses. First two words, it says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, you see. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, you see. But God, see, things could have happened so differently. But God changed things around. He didn't give me what I deserve, you see. But God, in His mercy, you know what mercy is? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what you deserve. And God has been good to us. He's been good to me. God changes things around. Things could have taken things in my life, maybe your life, could have taken such a different turn. They could have went this way or that way. But God, those two words, but God intervened. Let me ask you something. Has God ever intervened in your life? Has He changed things around? Where they're better than they could have been. They could have turned out in such a bad situation. But God came along. But God, in His infinite mercy. God is rich in mercy. He's rich in everything. But He is especially rich in mercy, you see. And He intervened and changed things around. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Joseph, and his life is found in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter number 50. And Joseph's brother, he's the son of Jacob, and he had 11 brothers, had 10 at the time. But they hated him because his father loved him. And they took him and they threw him into a pit because he's always telling them something. And they took him and threw him into a pit, and they're going to kill him. But one of his brothers, Reuben, changed their mind. So they sold him. They sold him to some slave traders coming by, and they took Joseph out of that pit. They took him down to Egypt. And he began to work for a man by the name of Potiphar, and there in Potiphar's house, he got to be in the boss over everything. And Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, and so they took Joseph and they threw him in prison for doing nothing. For doing nothing. He did right. He did the right thing. But he laid in that prison for 2 long years. And he said, please, somebody tell the Pharaoh that I'm here unjustly. But nobody listened to him for 2 long years. And then finally, one day, the Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. And they said, I know somebody that can interpret a dream. He's in prison there. And so they came and got Joseph out of the prison, cleaned himself up, and in a matter of minutes, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, the greatest country in the world at that time. You see, things could have turned out so bad. He could have stayed in that prison and died. But God came along and God intervened. That's the way God does things. Sometimes people can't believe that God can change things so fast. But God can change things overnight, like in our Sunday school lesson. He changed things overnight, you see. Amen? The new birth is according to God's abundant mercy. And number two, the new birth gives us a lively hope. Let's go back over to 1 Peter. I'll be finished here. I'll have to rush through it here. Quickly, First Peter, again, chapter 1, and verse number 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, that's number 1, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, that's number 2. New birth gives us a lively hope. You know what that means? That means you got something to look forward to. You got something to look forward to, see? Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13 that we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. He gives us a lively hope. And then the third thing that I would point out to you and found in verse number 3, it says, it is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why you can be born again, is because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That is what sets apart Christianity from all other religions on the face of the earth. That's what sets them apart, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there were no resurrection of Jesus Christ, it wouldn't make any difference if he died on the cross or not. If there's no resurrection, then he'd just be one more dead criminal, you see. But he's raised from the dead. Do you know what that is? That's God showing us that he is pleased with what his son did on the cross. That he's pleased with that, you see. So it is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If we have a funeral here in a few days, we'll talk about the resurrection, see. That's what gives you hope, is that the body is not going to stay in the grave forever. It's going to be raised up. The fourth thing that I would tell you is that because of the new birth that we have an inheritance. Look in verse number 4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. We have an inheritance. Listen, here on earth, everything is corruptible. Everything runs down. Everything gets old. Everything falls apart. Everything is corruptible. But the Bible says that we have an inheritance up there. That's heaven, which is incorruptible. It'll never change. I mean, what kind of heaven would that be if it got old, you know, you see? But because of the new birth, he has given us an inheritance that is incorruptible. Turn back over in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter number 14, and let me read a few verses for you. John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3 says this. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. See those many mansions there? That is that incorruptible place. That is that incorruptible inheritance that you have. Verse number 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See? So you have an inheritance that is incorruptible. And then I'm going to say last, found in verse number 5, that all of that is kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, all of it's kept. You can't lose it. God keeps us saved. We don't have to keep ourselves saved. Turn in your Bibles, please. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Go back over to Ephesians where you've been there. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30 says this. I'll read it for you. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see, you're part of Jesus Christ. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it. Going over to 2 Timothy there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Paul says this, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. You see, Christianity and salvation, it's a no-so. It's a no-so thing. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. See, he keeps you. He's the one who keeps you when you get saved. You're in his hand. You're part of his body. You're part of his flesh and of his bones. And it's impossible to lose it, you see. So the new birth gives you all of these things. It gives you, it comes because of the abundant mercy. It gives us a lively hope. It is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and because of it, we have an inheritance, and we are kept by the power of God. The Bible says there, we're kept, we're in his hand. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.